It's the exact opposite of what they expect to be happening out there. They think Trump supporters are going to be abandoning because they're fed up with Trump's tweeting and all this other stuff.
And that's what he has been writing. He has been writing about the failure of the Trump administration. The whole Seattle Times paper, that's all it is. You read the headline, and it's down on Trump. Then if you go through and read the article, you might find the truth of what they're saying, that he isn't really that bad. But the headlines in that paper are always misleading.
Well, but that's the drive-by media. There's nothing. I know it's your paper, so you take personal umbrage at it. But don't be... I mean, it's like this for everybody in every town with their newspaper, except maybe for New York and the New York Post.
Perhaps. But
it is. There's no exception. Name a newspaper in the country pro-Trump. Look at what happened to the New York Times when they wrote a fair headline. The left went berserk. I forget what the headline was, but it just Trump attacks... Yeah, Trump speaks unity on racial matters, and the New York Times readers went nuts because the headline didn't attack Trump, and they threatened to cancel their subscription. There's not a pro-Trump newspaper in this country. Well, I can't say that because I haven't read them. There may be one here, there, in a state, somewhere, but for the vast majority of newspapers, it's like you're dealing with every day. They hate Trump or they don't like Trump. They're writing stories about how Trump's base is abandoning him. Everybody hates Trump because they don't like Trump's tweeting.
If you lived out here, you would see that in person, that's what all... They laugh at you if you say you like Trump, or God help you if you wear a MAGA hat or a shirt.
Yeah, you get beat up.
Oh, that's exactly right. And I'm 84 years old, and I'm not up to that. Maybe 50 years ago, I would have been.
Oh, I'll bet you could handle one of those Antifa brats.
Oh, yeah.
Yourself, a bunch of wusses.
I all the time.
But Susan, you asked a very good question. And that is, you answered my question. You don't know why this guy wrote the piece. He's been perennially negative to Trump. They're scared. This guy sees this day. This would scare anybody that's in politics. And journalists are in politics. And in Seattle, state of Washington, California North, there shouldn't be any Trump supporters there. I mean, no more than you could put in a phone booth if we had phone booths anymore. And then you find out that Trump is out raising the top six Democrats in this. That's scary. That is scary. It goes against your entire reason for breathing every day. Your reason for breathing is to get rid of Trump and that you're succeeding, that you're convincing everybody that Trump is an ogre and a reprobate and all of it. Then you see that and it just flies in the face of what you have told yourself is true. So it scares the hell out of you. And you can find these stories pockmarked across American journalism now and then if you know how to spot them. Which, of course, I do, which is one of the many reasons why I'm here. So, Susan, thank you very much. It's great to have you with us. My starting point is that there is a globalist movement, but it's not a conspiracy. It's not something that's hidden away in some deep, dark foundation in New York City. It's active and real. And it is taking place, and it's underway, and it's in plain sight. It's in plain sight all over the world. It's in plain sight on one issue, especially immigration and migration. You can see how it has been enabled. The effort of the current crop of globalists is to eliminate the concept of nation-state, to eliminate the concept of borders or nations, and to instead just have this one gigantic global collection of humanity. But for this to happen, and it is stated that the people behind this are utopians, and that they believe they can actually make the world a better place. I don't think that's true at all. I don't think there's anything altruistic about a group of people that think that the world should be run by one organization and that every nation or every person in the world should be subservient to or reporting to that particular organization or global government. I don't think there's any utopian about it. I think they're power mad. And I think they're money crazy. But the truth telling of it for me is when I see quotes from powerful CEOs and government officials, which happen to confirm my own political instincts. You know, I'm not out here making anything up, and I'm not by any stretch a conspiracy theorist. And do you know why? Because people can't keep secrets. I refuse to believe conspiracies. There can't be any, because nobody can keep a secret. And the number of people would have to keep a secret, depending on the size of the conspiracy, is simply not humanly possible. So I don't believe in these conspiracies. I think this thing is right out in the open. I think there are some very powerful people who have this dream or this objective of establishing a global type governing body over the world. The one thing standing in there with a primary obstacle in their way is the United States. If they're going to succeed with this, they have to find a way to get the United States to go along with it. Now, what would that entail? Well, that would entail a president like Barack Obama, who also believes that the United States is more a problem in the world than it is a solution. And I can connect this to the New York Times about wanting to rewrite American history. If you're going to establish that the United States is a flawed, deeply flawed, undeserving, immoral, and unjust place, why, you're setting the stage for its abolition, which just so happens to be what is necessary for globalism to succeed. And if you can pull that off, why, then you're halfway home. Now, let's go back and look at the Obama 8 years. What did they tell us? They told us America's greatness in terms of prosperity was over. That was a thing of the past. That our greatness in the past, our prosperity in the past, was largely unjust and immoral because we had either stolen resources from other nations of the world, or we had conquered people or plundered them. There was slavery and all kinds of social injustice, and we were just not deserving. And now it was time to pay the price for that. So they told us that there's a new normal. Manufacturing jobs lost are not coming back now. You just have to adjust to this. So we're going to give you health care. We're going to do some things to mitigate the damage. But this day going forward, you should not expect for future generations to do better than their parents, which has always been the fundamental aspect of the American dream. And Obama said the new normal is an economy and country in decline, and that responsible leaders going forward will be the best at managing that decline. That was the sum total of Obama's 8 years. What more could a globalist hope for than for that? And I tell you, the monkey wrench in all this was Donald Trump, who comes along and starts talking about making America great again, and thinking all this hooey about America's greatness as a thing of the past is just that, a bunch of hooey. Talks about bringing jobs back, economic growth of 3-6%, make America great again, make America the solution to the world's problems, and these people panic. I think they thought they were well on their way. Trump comes along and wins, and they haven't been the same since. I really believe they believed that they were on the verge. Here's a quote from the top executive at Colgate Palmolive. There's no mindset that puts this country, United States, first. CEO of one of America's largest hedge funds said, look, if the global economy lifts 4 people in China and India into the middle class, while one American drops out of the middle class, that's not a bad deal. I can live with that. Meaning, If we have to plunder the economy of the United States to equalize economics around the world, then we'll do that. Gladly we will do that. The fallacy for all these people and the ignorant in economics is a belief in the zero-sum game. And that is, if something grows, something has to shrink. If you get a dollar, somebody has to lose a dollar. That's BS. It's total BS. The United States has proven that's BS. Look, I'm way long. Got to take a break. Don't go away.
You're listening to the nation's most talked about talk radio host, Rush Limbaugh.
Welcome back. Rush Limbaugh, a cutting edge of societal evolution. There is a dream of a global government. The European Union is serving as the model. Why do you think American leftists so love Europe and the European Union and all? That's the seat of all this. And the United States is the lone obstacle to in their mind. I don't think they could ever do this. I don't want to get anybody alarmed here. I think this is satirical Bond villain stuff. We are never going to allow the people of this country are never going to surrender to the United Nations or globalism. It just isn't going to happen. Doesn't mean we will not have leaders like Obama who are going to try. But the American people are not, at least as currently constituted, capable of giving up our sovereignty. Now, I know the pressure is on for this to happen. And if things aren't changed, 10, 20 years, who knows? All bets could be off. But right now, there is no way. Let me grab another quick call before this hour perspires. It's Paul in Royce City, Texas. Great to have you.
Hey, Rush. Thanks for taking my call. I've been with you from the beginning, man.
Thank you, sir.
I think the thing that ties all this racial stuff together, the slavery and Beto calling us all racists and all the leftist talking heads pressing all that, I think they are scared to death of losing part of the black vote. I think we've always gotten about 10% of the black vote, but now that so many people have jobs, compared to Obama's time, the new normal with no jobs, I think if the right got 20% of the black vote, the Democrats couldn't win an election. And it's the economy, like Carl said.
There's no question that this is a factor. And last week, you know, while the drive-bys were happily reporting Trump's approval number down in the latest stupid-ass poll of theirs, same poll showed that Trump's approval in African Americans and Hispanics was at 51%. Now, I will guarantee you that number scares the daylights out of these people. No, this is also a good point. It's not the only reason that the Times is pushing this. Getting rid of America as founded is a real objective, folks. And it's also an attempt to save the Democrats with the black vote, yes. But don't discount what the large objective here of eternal damage to America as founded really is in all of this. Look, I've got another New York Times story here, folks, that fits in with one of the directions we're going today. The title, it's actually, I guess it is a story, it's not a column. We Have Ruined Childhood. It's by Kim Brooks, New York Times. This is an amazing, shall we say, admission that they don't know they're making, I think. Hi, welcome back, Rush Limbaugh. And have my brain tied behind my back, of course, just to make it fair. Okay, now get these next two stories. Oh, let me interrupt myself here for a second. Check the email during break, I always do. And I've got a couple emails from people. You know, like, Rush, I'm not used to hearing you talking about this conspiracy stuff, this global government stuff. That's why I say I don't believe in conspiracies. Because I don't believe anybody can keep secrets. All these conspiracy theories that run around require massive numbers of people keeping a secret. It's just not humanly possible. People cannot do that. That's not my point. Folks, I have been sitting here, happily so, throughout the entirety of the history of this program, trying to warn people of the imminent threat posed by liberals, by leftists. Their home happens to be the Democrat Party. Although, have you seen what's happening? Now they're starting to attack Bill Maher. You know, Rashida Tlaib is trying to get people to boycott Bill Maher's show because Bill Maher does not support her boycott of Israel. I'm telling you, the left is cracking up. The media, the Democrats are cracking up far more than you can see. All of the signs are there. This effort by the New York Times to recast the founding of America as 1619 to coincide with the slave trade beginning in North America, it's ridiculous. It would be laughable if they weren't serious, but they are. And my whole objective here is simply to get people to understand to instinctively oppose anything and everything liberals propose the minute you hear it. That's why I take the time breaking down what global government really is. It's not the way it's been portrayed by conspiracy theories like the Trilateral Commission or the Council on Foreign Relations. It's real. It's a bunch of people who believe they are smarter and better than everybody else, who just simply have a mass craving for power and the access to money that will give them. They couch it all in improving lives based on compassion and an attempt to establish a utopia. The only thing you need to recognize, if all of this sounds beyond your ability to conceive it, you just have to understand that for these people to succeed, the United States must be cut down in size. The sovereignty of the United States must be eliminated. Because any effort at globalism will fail if it cannot incorporate this market. And so the time I have spent explaining globalism and its current manifestations is not to spread conspiracy theories. It is to alert people, as I always have. But my dream would be if everybody in this audience, or if everybody who would just listen to me two times, would get it about liberalism. That's the great threat that we face. The great challenge of our time is liberalism or socialism, communism, which now all find their home in the Democrat Party. They must lose and lose elections. They must continue to lose elections. They must never become the majority in this country. They must never become the majority of thinking. They've always been around. They always will be. But they need to be defeated politically, annihilated politically on an ongoing, consistent basis. It's a tough chore. Most people don't see other people ideologically. Most people don't see other people politically. Note that's how the left is trying to accomplish it, though. Identity politics, they're trying to get people who are wavering and don't really care about all this stuff to hate us on the basis of race or on the basis of gender or what have you. They steer away from ideas. They can't win debates on ideas. So they cloak and camouflage their objectives in other things like compassion and happiness, freedom, whatever else, when they stand for the exact opposite of these things. So that's why I spend time talking about this. It's just an ongoing effort to educate people what I think is the greatest threat that we face. Now, consequently, they think the same thing. They think the greatest threat that we face is us. And they're right, because we are standing directly in the way of their amassing all of this power that they want. We do not want power over them. We just want them to lose. We just want them to remain a minority. I don't care if they're happy or unhappy. The problem is we love everybody. We want everybody to appreciate living in this country. We want everybody to be able to access the wonderful opportunities this country provides everybody. And it really begins to test your patience listening to a bunch of malcontents who don't know what they're talking about, who've been talked into hating this place. So that's why.
Social Issues App. Justice Radio Station.
Social Issues App.
Justice Radio Station.
Social Issues App.
Presenting evidence why and how to create a system where the individual will guarantee that no one is mistreated, and guarantee that who needs help the most receives the most constructive help in all areas of people activity in society, including economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Justice Radio Station. Social Issues App.
Social Issues App.
Justice Radio Station. Google your bookstore for justice. Go to Justice Radio Station.
Social Issues App.
Now, there's a couple other things here that I have been patiently waiting. First story, Washington Post. He's 26 years old, but still sees a pediatrician. Why some young adults don't move on. Now, when Joanne Alfonso, a pediatrician in Freehold, New Jersey, walked into her office recently, she mentally rolled her eyes when she saw her next patient, a 26-year-old car salesman in a suit and tie. She said, "That's no longer a kid, that's a man," she recalled thinking, yet she wasn't surprised. In the past 5 years, she has seen the age of her patients, she's a pediatrician, rise as more young adults remain at home and, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, on their parents' health insurance until age 26. First it was 21, then 23, now 26, Alfonso says. A lot of them can't afford to live on their own and get their own insurance, or even afford the copay. And if insurance is offered at work, there's generally a cost share of blah, 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 blah. So it's a It's a key. You know what? We thought we were helping people. Your children can stay on their parents' health insurance company at 20. But now they're still seeing pediatricians at age 26. Let me get to the next story. And I've already promoted this next story, but this one dovetails with it. Ready for the headline? We have ruined childhood. New York Times, written by Kim Brooks. According to the psychologist Peter Gray, children today are more depressed than they were during the Great Depression. They are more anxious than they were at the height of the Cold War. A 2019 study published in the Journal of Abnormal Psychology found that between 2009 and 2017, rates of depression rose by more than 60% among those ages 14 to 17 and 47% among those ages 12 to 13. This isn't just a matter of increased diagnoses. The number of children and teenagers who were seen in emergency rooms with suicidal thoughts or having attempted suicide doubled between 2007 and 2015. To put it simply, our kids are not okay. Now, you know what this is. This is the New York Times. They realize something's wrong, but they haven't the foggiest idea why. Because they can't blame themselves. They have destroyed the concept of family. They have invented psychological disorders and then plugged people into them. They have demonized men for how many years? What's the modern era feminism traceable to? 1969, 1970? Men, fathers, have been berated and demonized all that time. Men don't even go to college anymore because they don't want to get the crap handed out to them. They don't want to take women's studies and have to deal with angry women, angry over what men have done to them. And why do they think that? That's what the media has told them. Now, we've been talking about this for 20 years, but there are more and more articles like this in a bunch of leftist pieces. They haven't shown up in mainstream. They're in leftist websites and so forth because everybody or every parent wants the best for their kids, and they're starting to see this is a screwed up situation. I think it's becoming very apparent to millennial parents, parents of millennial kids, their kids are struggling in the wretched, horrible circumstances of the public school system. One of the answers to this mess, what's happening to our children, is homeschooling. And it's not just conservatives and Christian-oriented people who are choosing to pull kids out of public school. It's more complicated than I have the time to get into now. All I'm saying, this is just another. There are so many stories today in mainstream media about how screwed up things are in areas they have been in charge of and they have been running. They don't know why. See, they've expected utopia. They've expected the implementation of all of the things they believe to lead to utopian-type results. And instead, an absolute mess has been created. And step one is them wrecking. We have ruined childhood. I'm going to save this because it deserves to be detailed for you even more than I have time for now. So I'll set this aside. Maybe get to it tomorrow.
Because of one simple word. Justice. I'm nervous that you're going to be swayed by smooth talk and a haircut and forget about the most important aspect of this case. Justice. 150 years ago, a slave by the name of Dred Scott sued to prove that he was a person and not a piece of property. He lost. And as history has shown us, that wasn't justice. in every civil rights conflict, we are only able to recognize the just point of view years after the fact. And when the next conflict comes along, we're once again blind to it as it's happening. Well, this is different, we say, but it isn't. It is the same beast, just wearing a different face, and it's happening again today. So I urge you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, not to be a footnote on the wrong side of history. Don't wait too long to be right. Thank you.
Justice. So there isn't a recession. The White House is not considering tax cuts to stave off the recession. If the White House is doing anything, if Trump is doing anything, if he's pondering anything, it is to keep the economy on jet speed. Okay, greetings. Got that out of my system. Welcome, folks. Well, can you blame me for being upset about this? I mean, this is just blatant lying. You know, stop and think about it. I have made this point many times before. Newspaper companies are dying. And if it weren't for the opportunity to sell web subscriptions, many of them would have folded already. They're already being underwritten by loss leader operations elsewhere in the conglomerate organizations that own newspapers, particularly that Mike Bezos can afford to have the Washington Post lose money for the rest of his life. And ditto with the New York Times people, but a lot of newspapers around this country are in heap big financial trouble. They are dying, and all they have left, you know, this is stunning to me, folks, as a matter of business, all they have left, they're all identical. They all are doing the same thing. They are devoted to these wild, insane conspiracy theories that are oriented toward creating a narrative that would result in you throwing Donald Trump out of office in 2020. That is what they are all targeting. And then they come up with various forms of clickbait in order to push this narrative. Then once they got the clickbait, then here comes the slander and the libel. They are dying due to conspiracy theories, the desire for clickbait. They're not trying to attract and grow business by virtue of doing good work. They're all agenda-oriented, and they're all on the same agenda. There's nothing different about any of them. Oh, you might have a different lifestyle piece here, different lifestyle piece over there, you know, but in terms of the news coverage and the drive-by media, it is more standardized and identical than it has been in many, many moons. You look at what the New York Times, look at any newspaper could have done with the Steele dossier. Just in terms of journalism here, you realize the story that's still out there waiting to be reported, and that is the collusion and the corruption of the Obama administration's DOJ with the FBI and the intelligence agencies to literally overturn the election results of 2000. Do you realize the story that has yet to be written, and it is a blockbuster, and it would distinguish any news organization from the pack if any one of them decided to actually do that story? Same thing can be said for the Washington Post, New York Times. They've all decided to go for partisan political kills. Every day is a partisan political kill shot aimed at Donald Trump. Problem for them is they keep firing at the king and they keep missing. And instead of reassessing their mistakes, they reload and they fire the same ammo. And they miss the target every time, and they've been missing a target for 2.5 years, and they're all shooting at the same thing. This is like going to a carnival where you have 10 little play shotguns lined up and you all shoot for one thing and try to win the teddy bear to take home. And you got 10 people lined up shooting at something 10 feet away and every one of them is missing it. And not one of them takes a different tack. This is stunning to behold, and the story that they're leaving on the table, Now, don't misunderstand. I know why. I'm just pointing out to you that if I were in that business, and if I were competing with these people, in some sense I am, but I'm not in the newspaper business, and I'm not in the court journalism business, although there's more journalism on this program than you'll find in the New York Times today or the Washington Post, I submit. But man, I would be going where they aren't. What is it Wayne Gretzky said? I skate to where the puck is going to be, not to where it is. There's nobody in journalism, particularly big three journalism, that is even focusing on a Pulitzer Prize of all Pulitzer Prizes out there. And you know why? They can't, because they were complicit in it. They would have to expose themselves. They would have to include themselves in any expose of this gigantic collusion hoax, because they were active participants in it. The New York Times new slogan, all the news fit to print that hates America. Or hate America first again, whatever. I mean, it's stunning. And I've talked about this a couple times before. The gold mine that people are sitting on out there and ignoring. Here's this PJ Media. This is just one example. White House considering payroll tax cut to stave off recession. PJ Media is a sympathetic Trump website, portrayed as a certain way to keep the economy firing, which is why the Democrats supposedly oppose this. I think the Democrats put this story out precisely to carry on their narrative that we are in a recession. And the White House knows now. Yes, the White House is well aware, ladies and gentlemen. The White House is trying to hide it from you. They don't want to admit it. But look at what they're doing here. Payroll tax cut to avoid recession. There's no recession. And finally, the White House came out and poo-pooed this. Okay, look, we have some follow-ups from yesterday.
The thing is, nowadays, anybody can protest, you know, and anybody can write beautiful songs and all that. But sometimes if you have a talent or people are noticing you enough, then you should really try to do as much as you possibly can with it, you know. Like what we're going to do now is chop down the words now and try to make it really tight. And what we're saying is not protesting, but giving the answers or some kind of solution.
Big deal.
Spent a lot of time, as you recall, yesterday on the New York Times attempting to rewrite American history and the founding of America as dating to 1619 when the slave trade arrived in North America. You want to talk about the state of modern-day journalism? And not only is the New York Times basically now preparing a series, it's not even correct to say series of essays, so the New York Times daily existence from now through Election Day 2020 will be devoted to the idea that all American greatness and exceptionalism is rooted in slavery. And the story that they ran yesterday is so chock filled with lies about slavery, not just here, but in Great Britain, and the timing. It is all fake news. Eric Erickson did some historical research and wrote a piece about it that I'm going to be quoting from later, just nuking the entire New York Times story yesterday. These people are dangerous, and they're silly, and they're ignorant at the same time. Okay, yesterday, spent a lot of time, because it was a giant "see, I told you so." The New York Times has moved on to a new hoax. They have moved on to a new narrative. Every narrative, and it's the end of journalism officially. The New York Times announced that there is no more journalism in the New York Times. There is simply agenda orientation and narrative advancement. And the New York Times has decided that America was not officially founded in 1776. And the Revolutionary War had nothing to do with America's independence. America was actually founded in 1619. 1619, and but we're coming up on the 400-year anniversary, you see. And what happened in 1619 is the first African slaves arrived for sale in what is now Virginia. And so the New York Times and their new premise, their new narrative, is that the United States is a gigantic fraud. That the real story of the United States that's taught is bogus. That America's true past is one of immorality, injustice, racism, bigotry, homophobia. The premise is that everything great about America, American exceptionalism, all of America's great achievements are essentially illegitimate because they would not have happened without slavery. This is the New York Times new premise. They preceded all this with a series of tweets 6 days ago saying that their project from now through the 2020 election would be to demonstrate that not a single American achievement would have happened were it not for the evil of slavery. And therefore, everything about the United States is illegitimate. Now, I made a big deal about it because it was a giant "see, I told you so." This has been a message I have been conveying to you in this audience for years about the left's true intent. The transformation of America, as Obama described it, the 8 years of Obama were indeed a plan designed to make Americans believe that the greatness of America was not justified, that it was indefensible, that all the great economic prosperity the American people had enjoyed was not really legitimate because it was so ill-gotten in so many ways. So the Obama people came up with this new term, the new normal. The new normal is a steady, declining economy that needs to be expertly managed, that America's expectations need to be lowered, that the central ingredient of the American dream, that children will do better than their parents, is over. This is what Obama and his acolytes told the American people. Economic growth in excess of 1.5% should never, ever be expected. Even had a name for this, the new normal. America in decline, a decline that we deserved, by the way. A rollback in prosperity and power that we deserved because it was achieved in inhumane, illegitimate ways. This has been the objective. It was the objective of the Obama administration and of the Democrat Party. And it dovetailed with their decision in November in early 2010 to totally abandon white working class voters as a primary ingredient of their constituency. The Democrat Party officially cast aside the white working class and instead attempted to build a massive majority built on all of the minorities they could find and combine together. Illegal immigrants, African Americans, Hispanics, women, lesbian, gay, sexual, bisexual, transgender, the confused, whoever, all of these disparate groups, the victims of America. The victims of America's unjust founding would become the constituency of the Democrat Party. That's the decision they made. So, along comes Donald Trump, who doesn't want any part of this, has a slogan, Make America Great Again. This is crazy. What do you mean American decline? What do you mean new normal? There's no need for this. It's totally unnecessary. America is great, justifiably so. And we need to focus on being even greater. His victory alarmed and scared the entire liberal establishment worldwide, who in reality want a declining America to further their globalist ambitions of eliminating the concept of nation states. You can't succeed at that unless you eliminate the sovereignty of the United States. And you can't do that unless you've got willing American leadership. And they had it with Barack Obama. The reason Donald Trump is hated and despised and feared is not just the Washington establishment. It is the worldwide globalist establishment. So in response to Trump, the New York Times, a leader in this globalist, let's take America down a peg or two because America doesn't deserve her status crowd, has their new agenda that America's true founding was when slaves first arrived, and everything that happened thereafter is basically criminal. The United States is a criminal state that has achieved its unwarranted power and prosperity on the backs of people of color. So we're faced with an active political opposition, which has finally been honest about its intentions for the last 20 or 30 years, maybe even longer, and that is to destroy the United States as founded. Take it down many notches in power and prosperity on the premise that none of it has been deserved, that none of it has been warranted, that all of it is ill-gotten, and all of the people who have benefited from this injustice of the American founding need to also be called out and punished. The white supremacists, the white nationalists, the white, essentially, the Republican Party, and the conservative movement. There's only one problem. Well, there's more than one. But a primary problem the New York Times faces is that everything in their premise is a lie. Not a single bit of it is factually true. Details when we come back. The abolitionist movement in London, and this is a point that Eric makes here, did not take off until after 1776. Look it up. The name is William Wilberforce, and he was the leading proponent of getting rid of slavery in the in Great Britain. Movies have been made about the efforts of William Wilberforce. It's spelled exactly like it sounds. But his movement to abolish slavery did not take off until after 1776, and it dragged on well into the 1800s. In fact, Massachusetts began considerations on abolishing the slave trade in 1767, 1 year after our founding, actually before the founding, and voted again in both 1771 and 1774 to end it altogether, even before our founding in Massachusetts.
Democracy versus justice.
To Eric Erickson's piece, and I was really time crunched, so let me go over these dates again. The first factual error that the New York Times makes is that the primary reason the colonists decided to declare their independence was because they wanted slavery and the British king wouldn't allow it. This is such a lie, I don't know where to start with it. It is obscene, this lie. that America's Revolutionary War was fought because the Brits would not allow us to continue. They were operating a slave state themselves. They didn't get rid of it until long after we did. The abolitionist movement in London didn't take effect until after we were founded in 1776. It dragged into the early 1800s. Magic. But let's look at Massachusetts. Massachusetts began considerations on abolishing the slave trade in 1767. We were not founded till 1776. Practically 10 years before our founding, Massachusetts was making plans to get rid of it. They voted again in 1771 and 1774 to end slavery, the last time 2 years before the founding. The only reason it failed, the British government vetoed Massachusetts' request. In other words, Massachusetts remained a slave state despite voting to get rid of it because the British overrode it with a veto before our revolution. And yet the New York Times is claiming that we revolted because the Brits wouldn't let us keep slavery? Now, the second lie from Nicole Hannah-Jones is her statement about one of the primary reasons. She says that preserving slavery was a primary reason for our revolution. That is an out-and-out lie. The Continental Congress, 1774, pledged to end the slave trade, and in 1776, even southern states had agreed to abide by non-importation of slaves from abroad. Take it from the founders on words who were writing before 1776 about slavery and the need to end it. This is so commonly known. This project of the New York Times is obscene. The advent of slavery and the relevance of slavery to the American founding. We were founded on the premise that slavery had to go. And our founding documents were written in ways to permit that to happen as the new nation aged. There were compromises that were needed to assemble the 13 colonies, some of them in the South, and allowing them to maintain the slave trade for a time was part of it. Nobody's denying that. But this is an out-and-out series of lies from the New York Times that our founding, that our Declaration of Independence from Britain was because they wanted, the colonists wanted to protect slavery. The words of the Continental Congress, the words of the founders as written and published say the exact opposite. Few even of the most enlightened Virginians were willing to declare, as Thomas Jefferson did in the instructions he wrote for his colony's delegation to the Continental Congress, that the rights of human nature are deeply wounded by this infamous practice. This is the words. These are the words of Jefferson. The rights of human nature are deeply wounded by this infamous practice. The abolition of domestic slavery is the great object of desire in those colonies where it was unhappily introduced in their infant state. That's Bernard Balin, writing in The Ideological Origins of the American Revolution. Benjamin Rush, in a sweeping condemnation of slavery on slave keeping, written 1773, begged ye advocates for American liberty to rouse themselves and espouse the cause of humanity and general liberty. Bear a testimony, he wrote in the language of the Quakers, against a vice which degrades human nature. Talking about slavery. I mean, I don't know how to properly characterize this, but anybody who has been taught even the slightest factual truth of our founding knows that this entire premise of the New York Times is criminally wrong. Journalistically malpracticed, criminally wrong. They're literally just making up a new reality. They're literally, and they're not stopping at publishing this stuff in the paper. They are now creating a public school curriculum, part of the so-called 1619 project, to be implemented in as many public schools as possible to coincide with this new hoax, this new project of theirs to convince people that the founding of America is not what they've always been told that it was. The Civil War was, you have to marvel at the grandiose objectives of these people, and you literally have to marvel at the willingness to out and out lie. Now, I tell you what's going to happen here if nature holds its course. The New York Times is the leading news organization in this country, and other news organizations dutifully follow it. And if the New York Times is literally going to do this, if they're going to start a project here called 1619 that is designed to rewrite the founding of this country as something that did not happen when it was stated to happen, that it actually began with the slave trade, and that everything that's happened since 1619 is therefore unjust, indecent, and disqualifying, then every other news organization is going to have to pick this up. Otherwise, the New York Times is going to be stranded and alone with it. Because whatever else the New York Times leads with, Trump, Russia, collusion, Kavanaugh's got to go, whatever it is, the rest of the media, local newsrooms, national newspapers, local newspapers, they follow like puppy dogs the lead of the New York Times. Democrat Party had better be very wary of this, because if the media, which I claim has been running the Democrat Party for a while now, the media is the intellectual energy, they're the foot soldier warriors, they are leading the party, they are providing the talking points, they are firing the weapons against us, their political enemy. If they really think that there is a presidential election to be won, just waiting to be won, by convincing Americans that everything about their country is a lie, that it's truly a horrible place, and that everything great, supposedly great, is now disqualified because it wouldn't have happened without slavery. They think that is going to prevail over the message behind Make America Great Again, or Keep America Great Again. I have seen desperation. I have seen panic throughout my life. Professionally, personally, I've seen it. I know what it looks like. I've never seen this degree of panic. And some will say this is not panic. This is satanic. However you want to characterize this, this is an act of pure desperation. The idea that somebody somewhere thinks this is the way to amass a majority. And I'll tell you why they think so. Well, hey, Rush, it didn't do too badly for him in the midterms, 2018. All this radical socialism, it didn't hurt him then. It didn't hurt him winning some governorships back. Well, all politics is local. Those were local districts, Democrat districts, but they weren't carrying this message. Switch there, Brian. This is on the New York Times right now. I'm sorry, the Washington Post. The New York Times leading on this whole thing that America was founded in 1619 on the backs of American slaves, and now the Washington Post. I'm telling you, folks, do not doubt me. The rest of the media will follow them. The dawn of American slavery in the Washington Post. These people are re-electing Donald Trump as we sit here. Is the bottom line.
Back. Caught you looking for the same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the roll below the level because I'm living low. Next to the bass. Come on, turn up the radio. They claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy, could it be their friend guardian? I'm not a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist. Preach to teach to all. Because some they never had this. Number one, born to run. never about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome, a public enemy. Used, abused, without clues. I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news. Public enemy, don't believe the hype.